Softly spoken words of truth lay foundations for the proof. Yahweh's wisdom is sublime, stands the test of time. Words are spoken from the heart. Let us now be set apart. O ye soldiers of the host, give your all and stand your post. Through the day and through the night, gird your loins and fight the fight. Draw your sword and speak your peace. Obey his laws and never cease. Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with David James, and that's me, as if you hadn't guessed. Sorry I was away for a little while. I left last Saturday, and so I put the shows up early for you, as you noticed. I haven't got to the news. I don't know if I'll be able to get to the news. If I can, I'll throw one in. It won't be midweek, but it'll still be called the Midweek News. And of course, tomorrow, Saxon's Creed. I want to thank those that have been faithful and have helped me in my work. There aren't many of you, but there are some that have been very faithful. And I want to thank you for that. Yari, I cannot respond to your email and thank you. And I just wanted to thank you on the air. For some reason, it won't let me respond to your email address for some reason. I don't know why. There's a few people like that that I can't seem to respond because I always make sure that I thank everybody personally. And so, anyway, I'm back, and Miss Elke was out there chasing dragonflies and in Mississippi. I was down to Jurida, and it's kind of strange, man, when you go into Jurida, all kinds of regulations and speed limits and all kinds of things. It's a good-looking state.
But it shows me that they robbed the people to make it a good-looking state. I mean, you know. So I got pulled over by the police, which is something that hasn't happened to me in years. And it turns out it was an agricultural inspection station. Never heard of it before. I guess as you go into Jurita and out of Jurita, they want to make sure you're not bringing cicadas and stuff. They get cicadas down there now, I guess. And like that. So I've never had to pull into any stations that I ever, you know. So as you go by, I saw they had a couple of U-Haul fellers pulled over. And then all of a sudden I had a flailing whaley, I call him. This cop chasing me down. He was a nice feller. And I didn't feel like going through the whole thing of like, I don't, you know, do inspections. I had nothing in my truck, but I was going to help somebody to move. So I had dollies and blankets and things like that. And so he said, I've never written anybody up for the ticket like that. So he let me go, gave me a warning. So that was, I wasn't afraid anyway, because I'm not fearful. I'm not doing anything wrong. Why would I be fearful of the cops? You know what I mean? Although, maybe I should be, huh? The way they're doing things to people today. Anyhow, when I got down there, you hit this Florida Turnpike thing. It's about, this is about mid-Florida, and you get a $3.25 toll. And the woman there, she said, what's interesting about this is this road is owned by France. Isn't that nice? Jurita. The Jews sold one of our roads down there to France, and they collect the tolls. Now, I got to tell you, the road was well taken care of and all that, but still, think about that for a while. The Jews are selling our roads to countries in Europe. And then when you get down out of that thing, there were several tolls. They'll hit you one, then you go right to another exit and you're not leaving, and they want to hit you with another one. $1.25, hit you with another one. And then as you're going off the exit, they hit you for another one. And I just wanted to tell you this because I thought this was interesting. As I'm going off the exit, you know, I pay the toll, and as I'm pulling out, I look down at my odometer, and it says 148666. Let me translate that really quick for you. 4 and 8 is 12, and 1 is 13, 666. Or 4 times 8 is 32, plus 1 is 33, 666. Now, you can't make this stuff up, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't have planned that or anything like that. I just thought you might think that that's interesting like I do. I'm in Jurita where the devil's offspring are, and you got 3 times 3 is 9, 33, the devil, and then 666. I mean, it's just pretty amazing to me. And there's a lot of stuff going on. So I went to help somebody move, and it ended up costing me money. But whatever, what can I do about it? I can't do anything about it. However, I finished that task, and then I headed home. And I ended up stopping at one of the brethren's house, a fine man and woman who are, you know, give you some good Southern hospitality. Nice pancakes, you know. And beef bacon, yummy, yummy, yummy. And it was good to see them. I've been by there before, and Miss Elke got to have her little fellowship with the other girl dogs there, except for one of them. One of them just had another litter of puppies. So my goodness, her name's Blue. And Miss Elke had a good old time running around, chasing dragonflies and all that kind of stuff. And the brethren, you know, the man and his wife, they blessed me and I blessed them, and they sent me on my way home, and now I'm back. Me and Miss Elke are glad to be home, and the Father protected everything, and very thankful for that. That was a lot of miles, a lot of lonely miles, and it's amazing. I must tell you, Alabama's a beautiful state, and different color pavements, you know. In Georgia, they had white pavement in a lot of the areas, which I don't remember ever seeing before. There was yellow pavement in Mississippi. It's sort of yellowish. All kinds of things like that. Very interesting stuff. And Georgia was nice. Georgia was, I'm sure that, you know, if you got into the cities, it wouldn't be nice. Just like over there in Atlanta. I went through Atlanta because the GPS took me through Atlanta. On the way down, I didn't go that way. I must tell you about one place called Dothan, Dothan. That was a very impressive place. I mean, if you wanted some place to live and do business, there's a million businesses there. And it seemed like a very nice place. That's not Georgia, but that was on the way down, and it was before Tallahassee. Very, very nice. So I went a different way on the way home and so on and so forth. So I went through Georgia to Alabama, Birmingham, and such like that towards Memphis. And after, you know, when I'm leaving Mississippi, you go through Memphis, and it goes right over the bridge right into Arkansas. And so that's the way it goes. So it was a lot of miles. The Father kept us safe. I'm very thankful for all that he took care of me, that we didn't have any issues in the sense of the vehicle and thing like that. It's a good thing, too, I tell you. But anyway, I wanted to let you know where I've been. I plan on putting the newsletter out soon. I'm going to work on that. I'm getting closer and closer and closer to everything, to finishing my album. Hopefully I can start doing that and so on and so forth. But thank you for the blessings when you bless me. I appreciate it so much. You'll never know how much it means, especially right now. It's a little harder than it usually is. There's, you know, some people I've lost touch with and some people, you know, I'm not going to say, but whatever. Thank you for helping me, and I appreciate it more than you'll know, and I'll thank you every time you help me. Thank you so much. I'm trying to make it through this time, you know, and the little business that I've started with small engines and knife sharpening and computers and stuff, it's not going real fast, let's say. I just get a little job here and a little job there. And it never brings in anything much. It might give me a gas tank, you know, it might fill my gas tank or give me a half a load of groceries or something. You know what I mean? But it'll get better as time goes on, I would hope. I'm doing good work. So these things take time, folks, you know. And so don't think I'm laying around here, you know. I'm working. I work all the time. And when you have to, you know, recover the land out there and do the grass when it's a lot of grass, it takes hours to do the grass and things like that. So there's a lot of work to do. And I know you all are working too. So I just wanted you to know that. Anyway, we're continuing on with this Disney thing. And I wanted to also mention one more thing. Is I'd like you to pray for Leroy and Marilyn and a guy named Ronnie Meals. Ronnie's got several problems, and if you can pray for him, it would be wonderful. Marilyn, I don't know if she's got through the operation on her hip. She had one hip operation already, and she had to do the other one. I've been praying for them, both Leroy and Marilyn, and I'm hoping that you are too, or that you will too. And also I had mentioned Pastor Ramsey. Maybe you could keep him in prayer as well, if you would. I'm praying for them, and I hope you will too. We always need to pray for our brethren. It shows that we love them, and whether they know you prayed for them or not, the Father knows, and that's important. And you know that you cared, and you took the time to care about somebody else that you don't even know. It's easy to love your own. Anybody can love their own family. Anybody can love somebody they know. But to love a stranger that you never met, even though they're of your race, shows that you have love for the brethren. And it's important to do that, I would say. So, why don't we delve in? We're in The Bloodlines of the Illuminati by Fritz Springmeier, and we're in the Disney still on page 249 of the document. It's called Mind Control Features in Disney Movies. The elements within Disney movies that are intentionally put in for mind control would take volumes to describe. A detailed description of how just one Disney movie is used as a programming script soon follows. Fantasia was selected as the example. A random sampling of features in Disney movies for mind control programming could include Cogworth, the enchanted mantle clock in Beauty and the Beast. Let me make a comment about Beauty and the Beast, by the way. Just as they're trying to show you the Negroid with the blonde Anglo-Saxon woman, that's what Beauty and the Beast is all about. See, she's with a beast of the field. Or Beauty and the Beast can also have to do with the fallen angels that went after the daughters of Adam. And it can have to do with many things, Beauty and the Beast. See, they don't match up. They don't belong together. Yet they wanted to show you that in a child's cartoon so that it was a prelude. It has everything to do with the racial program for the 20th century by Israel Cohen, like many things do. The Jew is also the beast of the field and also trying to marry the Anglo-Saxon woman. And the Jew as the vampire is Beauty and the Beast in another format as well. When you see the filthy, dirty Jewish vampire, and he is a Jew, Bela Lugosi, over the blonde Anglo-Saxon woman ready to bite her neck and subsist off her blood, that's another rendition of Beauty and the Beast. I bet you never thought of that. Well, maybe some of you have. Make no mistake, the two-legged beasts of the field don't belong with the beauty or the Anglo-Saxon woman. But they're all over them today, aren't they? The next one, the character Doorknob, which is a doorknob portrayed as a person in the Disney cartoon Alice in Wonderland, is used for programming doorknob altars. Just so you'll know, an altar is one of the personages that you is programmed into somebody. Like I was talking about 9/11, what happens is they traumatize, or with this child touching thing, they traumatize the child by maybe killing an animal in front of it or what, any kind of thing, or making the child kill an animal. They traumatize the child, and after this traumatization, the mind cracks in different pieces like a mirror, and each one of those could be are an altar that can be programmed. In 9/11, I told you that they showed the planes going into the buildings, which might have never happened. I don't believe there were any planes, but it showed the planes going into the buildings over and over and over, and it traumatized the people of the world. Didn't do anything to me, but it traumatized the people of the world. Some people. And once they traumatized the people of the world, they programmed into them that it was Arabs with box cutters, right? And things like that. And many other things I'm sure were programmed in at that time. So that's just an example of what altars are. The next one, The Blue Yonder, is a Disney movie on time travel of a young boy. Time travel movies are used for programming to mess up the victim's sense of time. Disney film animated alphabet, quote unquote, has letters which come alive, which is useful for programming. And what about the 1982 Disney movie, Computers Are People Too? All the Jewilluminati members this author is aware of who have received trauma-based total mind control were taught to astrally project and study on the astral plane what they needed to learn. A Disney movie that portrays this is Goofy Over Dental Health. This is an educational film released by Disney in 91 and again in 93, where Goofy places a magical toothbrush under a child's pillow so that the child astrally projects to a dentist office and while on the astral plane studies how to have healthy teeth. Very interesting, huh? Jewilluminati altars believe that trees and flowers are alive. In 1932, Disney film Flowers and Trees is a story about two trees who fall in love. The film portrays the occult belief that trees can talk and sing. Internally, altar systems will be constructed with singing trees and flowers that represent people, which are altars. Now, we saw the speaking trees in Puffin stuff. We saw the speaking trees in the Lord of the Rings series, correct? And we saw them in the Wizard of Oz as well, didn't we? Okay. So, the singing trees give out internal codes to move altars intentionally where they need to go. Return to Oz, 1985. This Disney film begins its storyline about a girl who is thought to have psychological problems because of her tales of Oz. She is warned not to talk about Oz by her relatives. She is taken to a psychologist who wears a big ruby ring, who tells Dorothy that electroshocks won't hurt her and that we are at the dawn of a new age, quote unquote. Dorothy is told that her memories are just dreams that stem from excess electrical current in the brain. Excess electrical current in the brain. She is sent to a mental institution to receive shock treatments for talking about Oz. A lightning storm allows her to escape the shock treatments, and when she sleeps, she awakes in Oz. In Oz, she goes through many mind control scenarios, ruby slippers, mirrors, etc., etc. And toward the end, visits with evil Mombi, Princess of Oz, who keeps Ozma, Dorothy's twin, as a slave. Mombi eventually casts a spell and enchants Ozma into a mirror. Sci-fi author J.D. Vinge, in her Return to Oz, based on the screenplay, writes on page 211 and 212, quote, Dorothy gazed at herself in the mirror, seeing her own reflection, and remembering the moment when she had looked at herself and seen someone else there, someone who liked her, someone so like her, excuse me, that it could have been her sister. Parts of this film were filmed near Stonehenge, England. Disney also put out several films on the Wizard of Oz theme, all of which were used for programming. Amazing, isn't it? The original series of Oz books were by Baum, the same guy who wrote Wizard of Oz. In 1939, MGM did the famous Wizard of Oz film. In the Disney movie Tron, 1982, a younger computer genius goes into an altered state where he ends up becoming a computer program. After defeating the MCP, mind control programming, he returns to the real world. This is simply a programming script. A special effects team created a 3D world showing how talented Disney special effects people can be in making something seem real. This movie should show people their mind control capabilities. Mathematical Applications Group, Incorporated, Magi, get it? Were one of the groups that created the graphics. Disney came out with three videos of the new Adventures in Wonderland, which are mind control programming, in the mornings here, 9 to 9:30 on Channel 21, Disney has a Wonderland show every morning, which is mind control programming for children. And does that not show you that television is programming, ladies and gentlemen? Within a few minutes, this author had seen a girl walk through a mirror. The lives of Thomasina mentioned, and a little ditty, I'm a little teapot, quote-unquote, where a person becomes a teapot. They also had an under-the-umbrella, quote-unquote, scene. This was all pure programming, right on TV, of course. They show the white rabbit as a central figure, or of course they show a white rabbit as the central figure. ABC, under the auspices of Disney, produced a lengthy 140-minute film, Wild Palms, which depicts Illuminati mind control in life. One reader of Volume 2 stated that the Wild Palms movie would have made no sense except that having read the Volume 2 book, the movie made lots of sense in the light of Volume 2's revelations. The film depicts how children are kidnapped, switched at birth, programmed via TV cartoons, programmed to kill and use stun guns, etc. The film depicts Jewilluminati bloodlines and arranged marriages. Although the name Jewilluminati or Illuminati is not used, if viewers substitute the name The Fathers for the Illuminati Fathers, they will get an insider's view of life at the top. The main controllers are addressed by their slaves as Papa or Daddy or Mother. Aha! This is true to life. A person opposed to the Fathers states, one day we will wake up and discover we don't own this country and no one will care. The movie states that events are not happening randomly. The movie shows an underground tunnel system which has an entrance hidden by a swimming pool. Quite a few actual programming codes were said during the film. For instance, down, down, down through the pool of tears. That was one of the programming codes. And another one is this: we're going to go down the yellow brick road now. The movie was created by Bruce Wagner, who obviously is an insider concerning trauma-based total mind control. The fact that the movie was made shows the arrogance of the programmers' beliefs that their criminal acts in programming thousands of little children will not be exposed, and that people will be too stupid to realize that what is put out as fiction is actually mirroring what is happening. It's like they believe their own script, that if people did find out, no one would care. Because so much of the Jewilluminati programming involves the creation of programming of three altars linked into trinities, it is not surprising that Disney has helped such triad programming with a series of movies about threesomes. Now, one thing I want to say about this is if you're part of the UN and you read Alice Bailey's books, they talk about triangles, triangle groups. The mob in China are called the triads. They're just the same thing as the Italian mob or the Jewish mob, whatever. It's all Jewish mob. But the triangles, these could be a group of three people, that were trying to empower, you know, through the Lucius Trust type thing. So here's some of the ones that have movies about threesomes. Three Blind Mouseketeers, Three Caballeros, Three Little Pigs, Three Little Wolves, Three Lives of Thomasina, The Three Musketeers, Three Ninjas, Three Orphan Kittens. For Mickey Mouse programming, they came out with Through the Mirror, where Mickey Mouse steps in through his bedroom mirror and ends up in another world, quote-unquote, I mean, altered state. Another world meaning an altered state. Not all of Disney's movies that have mind control programming themes got released to the public. One unreleased cartoon had Penelope fleeing from a sinister looking grandfather clock, which is carrying her to another world, and has another scene where Penelope tries to hold onto someone who personifies the wind. George Lucas, I would say that Lucas means light if you looked it up, just like Lucius or Luciano or Luce, you see, L-U-C-E. George Lucas, who directed the movie Star Wars, which was a movie planned by the Jewilluminati used for Jewilluminati programming, also directed Disney's movie Captain EO. Captain EO, who looks like a demonic entity, goes to rescue the queen, who looks like the harlot, described as Mystery Babylon. He meant described as Mystery Babylon in the Bible. The queen is in captivity simply because she and her people believe in black and white, which represent good and evil. When they renounce such a belief, they are saved by Michael Jackson, in actual life a mind-controlled slave, playing Captain EO. It's a New Age witchcraft film, through and through, by the way. Michael Jackson has gone to Disney amusement parks many times, sometimes in disguise. It is public knowledge that his Jehovah's Witnesses family has been very abusive, mentally and physically, to their children. Disney has put out several movies on how the mind control works, such as the educational film, The Brain and Nervous System in 1990. Their film, Runaway Brain, is a cartoon where Dr. Frankenoli transplants Mickey's brain into a monster's body, and vice versa. A 1994 film. Puppet Masters shows the government's secret office of scientific intelligence trying to save the U.S. from aliens who live in human bodies. In recent years, Bette Midler has been Disney's main actress. Of course, she's a Jewess. In the Volume 2, it was exposed that she is possibly a monarch mind control slave. She is famous for her mood swings, quote unquote, switches in personality, and she has had a mental breakdown, quote unquote, in 1985. Well, Jews are all mentally ill. What do you expect? That's no surprise. Her eyes and body gestures are those of a programmed multiple. She has gone out on tour for Disney without making money, and she is best of friends with Jeffrey Katzenberg, second in command at Disney. See, it became Disneyberg. Jeffrey Katzenberg, by the way, is an extremely extremely disliked by his counterpart Sid Sheinberg. Oh, this is the Battle of the Bergs. Yeah. Bette Midler plays Stella in the movie Stella. Stella is an occult name. In the movie, the script seems tailored for Bette Midler and for someone who is a programmed slave, rather than the actress fitting the role. At the movie's end, Stella, Bette Midler, attends her own daughter's marriage by peeking in a window and watching from the outside. This is the script they gave so many of the parts of a slave, so that they feel unworthy and feel like they are always on the outside looking in at life. Many parts or personalities of slaves find it hard to connect with real life because they feel they are on the outside looking in. And then in true Disney fashion, Disney had Bette Midler play the role of the lead witch in Hocus Pocus. The movie Hocus Pocus does some Hocus Pocus of its own. While pretending to make fun of witchcraft, they actually teach witchcraft. They do make three witches look comical. By the way, the three witches stand for the maiden, mother, and crone combo that the Jewilluminati reverence. Disney subtly works in deep occult things, such as the all-seeing eye on the cover of the book, the little girl promising the cat, who is a familiar spirit, by the way, that her descendants would always care for it. True, because the cat was a generational spirit. The cat is killed in the movie, but can't die, and Bette Midler as lead witch in her costume, which has some Mother of Darkness symbology on it, states that she's ready to take the life force from an innocent girl. Quote, we want to live forever, so we take children's lives, quote unquote. How do you like that quote? Dig that one again. Let me read that for you. We want to live forever, so we take children's lives, quote unquote. This is wholesome entertainment for children. The Disney capacity for deception extends to its own workers. PR men recruit young people for its Disney College program. They tell the young people what a great stepping stone it will be for their careers. They have been known to make it sound like it's the greatest thing in your life. Children come from all over the country due to the slick recruiting tactics to work for Disney. They are then housed in Disney housing, given menial jobs, and paid low wages. Most people in the college program leave disillusioned. If the worker happens to think of a great idea, Disney officials have been known to steal the idea. Well, that's a very Jewish thing. And because the worker has been working for Disney, the worker will find that they are unable to get any credit or money for the idea that Disney steals and makes millions off of. One credited creator of a Disney sale item said, literally, they're using everybody for everything. From the book Inside the Mouse, page 239. Next will be the script for how the Disney film Fantasia has been used as a standard programming tool since the 1940s by the Jewilluminati. Detailed script on how the Disney film Fantasia is used for programming trauma-based mind control slaves. Let me just take a sip of coffee. Let's relax for a second and see what this is going to say. During the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, at least 90% of the Jewilluminati trauma-based mind-control slaves were subjected to watching Disney's Fantasia film in order for them to build the foundational imagery of the mind control. Child mind-control victims had their eyes taped open and then sat one-on-one with their primary programmers so that the programmers could give the scripts as the child watched the Disney Fantasia over and over. What made Fantasia unique was as a programming tool, is that it had almost everything the programmers needed to create the foundational imagery for their trauma-based mind control. To build a dependable altar system means that the worlds need a solid foundation. Fantasia has provided the means to get a solid foundation for the internal worlds that the Illuminati or Jewilluminati slaves build in their mind. It is also a masterpiece in coordinating color and music. The Disney film Fantasia, which premiered on, I wonder what the date was. November, the 11th month, 13th, 1940.
Hello.
At Broadway Theater in New York City. It was a financial disaster as a movie, but was a Jewilluminati programming masterpiece. The mind was the film was released to theaters in 1940, 46, 56, 63, 69, 77, 82, 85, and 90 in order to catch every generation of children. The video was released in 1991. During programming, much of the child slave's mind will watch the film. One particular part, or altar, will be forced to memorize everything in the film. This small part, or small altar, is well hidden in each victim's mind. The small altar, who has a vivid and total recall of the film Fantasia, is locked carefully away so that only an access code will pull him or her up. Watching the videotape Fantasia is not going to pull this altar up. The programmers pull this altar up when they have a clean slate altar. When they are taking a clean slate of the mind, they will pull the clean part up and have the altar who has memorized Fantasia throw its memory onto an internal big screen. The internal outer space, aka Rubicon, is shaped like an amphitheater and functions as a big vast screen for replay. There is an internal ball or sun created via the lighting effect of the movie. Fantasia, so that the movie appears projected in the mind as on a globe, and the Fantasia film images hit this internal globe, and go circular in the mind and spin through the system. The programmer will then say to the new part, "This is what I want you to create. This is what we need." In this fashion, Fantasia has provided the programmers with their primary tool for taking a dissociated, clean slate part of the mind and manipulating it to become a new workable part within the system. The young part that holds the entire Fantasia memory is strategically placed in the system so that it can be called up from any place in the system. No matter where the programmer is working in the system, he can access this smaller altar whose function is to remember the movie. Most of the system will go into a trance sleep if shown the movie. The front, as well as most of the system altars, will be totally amnesic to having ever seen the movie. Since the programming put in with Fantasia is so fundamental, it should come as no surprise that the programmers have done an excellent job in protecting this programming from everyone, including the slave. Abreacting the film for many alters could rip the system apart, because after the film is memorized, severe trauma begins to be overlaid and attached to the film. There may be some small alters that still carry tiny bits and pieces of the memory of the movie, but only one really remembers it. And I'm telling you, this is some strange crap, boy. These people are really... This must come from devils. I have no doubt of it. That this was taught by the secret hierarchy to these people that are doing these filthy things. It's unbelievable. It really is. It has to be, because I don't think man could think this stuff up. Anyway, let's go on. The following script will be a running account of how Fantasia has been used to import preparatory film for Jewilluminati trauma-based mind control to train the mind control victim's mind to be able to visualize the programming that will be layered in. The time clock will begin when the featured film action begins and then will run its entire 116 minutes. This will give the researcher of mind control a blow-by-blow description of how a Disney movie is used for programming. The film was often shown to child victims around 3 to 4 years of age with a wide screen while the child was under a guided LSD trip. Oh, that's just wonderful. That's wonderful. Prior to the use of LSD, some other drugs were used. A grand dame, or mother of darkness often worked with the Juluminati programmer as an assistant programmer. The scripts and the programming have already been discussed prior to showing the child the film, so the programmers know the direction they want to take the child and will tailor some of what is said to the child victim to individuals and programming. This is just pure evil. You know what I mean? This is just pure evil. It makes me very angry, I must say. I mean, this is touching a child in another way. This is another way of molesting a child. You can see that, right? And I'll tell you, this is very dirty and very filthy to do to somebody, to hurt a child like this. It's a sad day in this world, and this world needs to be ended soon. I hope the Father will do so. Unbelievable. So, the programmers know the direction they want to take the child and will tailor some of what is said to the child victim and individualize the programming. When 3 or 4 year old is shown Fantasia on a hypnotically prepared and controlled LSD trip, the colors and effects of Fantasia are increased about 1,000 times. The film is realer than real to the child. The movie will not be shown just once, but over and over, so that the scripts are ingrained into the mind. The imagery for the child's internal world will be well established. Because the big screen movie, enhanced by both the drugs and the bright colors of the artwork, will seem more than real than life itself. At this time, the child is a multiple, but the walls between the various parts of the mind are not solid, but similar to the walls between ego states in an adult non-multiple. A large part of the 3 or 4 year old child's system will be allowed to view the system, including the Christian parts. I hope you're listening. Then the entire system, with the single exception of the altar carrying the entire memory of the film, will be hypnotically told to forget having seen the film. Years later, the front altars will not remember having seen the movie, but they may have a strange dislike for the film. They may find they can't identify where their feelings of dislike for the film stem from. The child victims will watch the movie with its programmer and assistant programmer one-on-one with no other children in the room. The child will watch the film repeatedly and be grilled about what's in the movie. The child will see the movie so many times in such a vivid form that will be tested to the point that the movie will be memorized. But it will be hypnotically locked in the subconscious by the programmers so that it forms a base for the mind control to begin building programming, but will remain hidden from the conscious. At the time the Fantasia film was made, the Juluminati had been creating trained multiples for years. Wow. But they knew they wanted to program the different personalities in accordance with the best mind control techniques for the day. For this reason, the Fantasia film was planned ahead of time so that it could possibly serve as a programming aid. See, if this has been going on for years and people all over our country have gone to these Disney theme parks and everything, you wonder why our people are zombies? I mean, I don't wonder why. I think it's very, very interesting. It's very, very dark and disgusting as well. And it is pure evil. Pure evil. Let's continue. The film is silent, almost no words except for music, so that it can be used for hypnotic visualization so that the mother of darkness and the programmer can fill the programming script with the child victim as they watch the movie. As it turned out, their plans were successful. The New Age author David Tame states in his book, The Secret Power of Music, Rochester, Vermont, Destiny Books, 1984, page 292, that Fantasia is, quote, a superb marriage between the visual and musical arts. Most of the sequences are what New Age cinema was intended to be. The power of the movie to influence the mind stands out. In order to make the film, Disney used some strong-arm tactics on a few people. The movie was a box office flop when it first was released in the 40s, but when it was made for the occult world, but it was made for the occult world anyway. By the 1960s, the Jewilluminati had created a drug culture and had lots of undetectable mind control slaves running around that had been programmed with Fantasia. In the 1960s, Fantasia became a hit with the drug culture, which had its share of Jewilluminati slaves deeply involved in it. One more reminder, the sentences that are all caps in the script are the things that the programmers are saying to the child victim as the child watches the film. Bear in mind that the child watches the film over and over, so not everything indicated in this script by caps that the programmer says will necessarily be said in one showing. I don't know if I should really read this to you or not, because I don't want to program you. Right? And I don't want to be programmed myself. But they would. I'll just say this. We'll go over some of the words that they say just to, because I see it's quite interesting right here, right? One thing that is said is, who is green? Who is green? Green becomes invisible. What did I tell you about green? And green is a Jew name. What did I tell you about green? So he says, so it says, who is green? Green becomes invisible. Another one says, remember the bow, not the violinist. That's Dr. Green's orchestra. You are his star, Dr. Green. So in other words, they're telling this child that Dr. Green, who of course would be a Jew, right? Or Dr. Green would be the Green Man or Osiris or, you know, the devil. That's Dr. Green's orchestra. Remember I told you that going to Oz, it was the Emerald City, and that the devil's color is green, his favorite color is green. You are his star. See, Dr. Green is let's say he's the devil, and if you are his star are the Edomite Jews. Remember, his star is upside down, and their star is upside up, right? The Edomite star? That's not the one that's on the Jew flag. That's another of their stars. And so they say things like, that's the yellow brick road. Junk like that. Yeah, well, I'm not going to, you know, they're telling you to float, float, float and sleep and all this kind of crap. This is just hypnotism. And this is filthy evil. And I'm not going to read that to you. I'm just going to leave that be. I don't think you should be programmed. Let's just put it that way. If that might be the purpose of writing that into the book, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. We're living in a filthy, evil world, a filthy world full of filth, full of, I mean, it's just amazing to me how asleep the people are. And they want to be asleep. They don't want to hear about what I'm talking about. They don't want to hear about anything. There's a certain people that do, but there's many, especially women, don't want to hear about it. So if you have a woman that does want to hear about it, it is a miracle. And such miracles don't happen very often. Most women really push the truth away. Their propensity is to gravitate toward evil and toward the devil. And I'm not talking about the godly women. I'm talking about the satanically modified women. And how have they become satanically modified? You just heard some of the ways. You wonder why a lot of women become witches and men? You wonder why they go to yoga classes? You know who's targeted by yoga classes are white women. Do you ever think of that? Do you know that once you're in that thing, you possibly could be captured in that for the rest of your life and programmed in that? The Kundalini yoga, you know, where your spine and your third eye and all this, and the serpent is wrapping around your spine, you don't think that that's dangerous to you and your spiritual life and to your body and everything else? No? You don't think that emptying yourself and allowing something else to come in you that you invite in is, you don't think that that could be a bad thing and that that could encapture you for the rest of your life? There's many ways of programming. And why the TV programming, I told you that realities are contrived that way. We were discussing Lucy and Ricky and, you know, how Lucille Ball is a Jewess. I assume Ricky's a Cuban Jew too. But the thing is that was race mixing and no, that was a programming. People didn't realize, oh, that's just race mixing. Because they tried to make Ricky look white on the thing. You know, even though he was from Cuba, he could have been a white Spanish fellow, you know what I mean, type of thing. But the programming was that she was a very stupid woman. She was a liar. And she lied to her husband. And it's all in the guise of comedy. And many other things. And the public supposed that Lucy was a white woman. And so this was to program white women into rebelling against their husbands. I mean, you see this all over the place. This programming to rebel against the man and rebel against the father himself is programmed right into the television. I mean, today I'm sure it's there, right? I'm sure. But I know in yesterday it was there. Before I was born, it was there. All I can say is I always give good advice at the end of the show, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole.
Just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lives that they told erased. A man without a face, a man without a face, a man without a face. A man.